Amen. What a great day to be in the Lord's house. What a great day God has given us to share and worship together. I invite your attention to the book of John, chapter 20. I know what's on your mind. You're thinking, oh, is he going to preach today? The answer is yes, I am. I'll try to keep it within reason, okay? Truly, thank you for giving me the privilege of sharing God's Word with you. But let me thank you for joining in worship today. Hasn't it been good to be here and to worship the Lord? The children did a wonderful job. Brother Dale and the ensemble there did a wonderful job. And I'll tell you, it's just good to praise the Lord. I know we don't come here for ourselves. We come here to honor God. But you cannot honor and praise the Lord and walk away and not having your heart stirred and blessed. And that's the way I feel this morning. Let's stand as we look. Jesus is alive. Reading from the book of John, chapter 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting. One at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She's supposing him to be the gardener. Said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow to you today to give you glory for our risen Savior. Thank you for the great love that you have shown toward us by giving your Son as a sacrifice for our sin. Thank you that the grave could not hold him. Thank you that because he lives, all those who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ will live also. Thank you, Lord, that we have a hope and expectation that extends beyond this life into the one to come. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in the text that we read, it is Sunday morning, first day of the week. Mary's returned, Mary Magdalene has returned to the tomb where Jesus was laid 3 days before. Much to her surprise, when she arrives there, she sees the stone. She looks inside to find the body of Jesus, and the body of Jesus was gone. She runs to tell Peter and John that the body of Jesus is gone, and she gets there, tells Peter and John, and they run to the tomb to see what's going on, to see what has happened, and sure enough, as they look into that tomb, they find Jesus is gone. I always find their response very amazing. Peter and John, they look and say, "Yep, he's not here," and then they go home. But Mary Magdalene could not just go home. As a matter of fact, she stayed there, and she's pouring out her heart, weeping. She's an emotional wreck, for lack of a better way to put it. Okay? She's weeping. So that word weeping that's used in the text, it means to cry profusely, to sob uncontrollably. Her world has been turned upside down. Her teacher, her Messiah, the one that she's followed for some time now, has been crucified like a common criminal. He had been buried. She had watched as everything had happened to her Savior. As I said, he was crucified, taken from that cross, buried in this tomb. Stone was rolled before the door. The Roman soldiers were guarding that tomb. All that she had in life was now gone, except the dead body of Jesus. And so she holds on to that body. She's weeping uncontrollably now because she's lost that body, of course. She's weeping uncontrollably, and she looks inside again, and she sees two angels. I find it interesting that the two angels didn't surprise her. I'm not sure if she didn't realize that it was angels, but it says she saw two angels, and the angels ask her, "Woman?" Now listen, when they said woman, they did not use that term like we use it today, okay? They didn't say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" It was more of our, "Ma'am, why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" And she responds, "Because they've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've taken him." And she turns around and sees Jesus. But she's so distraught, she does not even recognize that it's Jesus. And Jesus asked her, "Woman, ma'am, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" And Mary answers, thinking that Jesus is the gardener at this point, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Just tell me, where is he?" And then Jesus speaks, and this is so precious. Jesus speaks. He says, "Mary." And you're reminded of John chapter 10, verse 3, that the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and they follow him. See, that's what happened. When he said, "Mary," immediately she recognized that voice, and she thought, "This is my Savior. This is my Messiah." And so, overwhelmed with joy, she's gone from having lost the dead body of Jesus to finding Jesus alive. And so she's overwhelmed with joy, and she literally falls at his feet and grabs him and clings to him and squeezes Jesus at this point, like, "I've lost you once. I'm not going to ever lose you again. I'm going to hang on forever and ever." And Jesus says what has perhaps been the most confused words in this John chapter 20, he says, "Mary, don't cling to me." Now, I want to share, some believe that is at this point that Jesus was saying, "Don't cling to me. I haven't ascended to my Father. You don't need to touch me because I haven't received my glorified body yet." And others have said, well, this Jesus had not presented himself in the temple of heaven as on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for sin. I think that's reading way too much into what is given here. When Jesus says, "Don't cling to me," he's actually being very simple. When he says, "Don't cling to me," he's saying, "Mary, don't panic. I'm still here. I'm going to my Father, but Mary, don't panic. I'm here right now. Don't lose it. It's not all over. It's, you know, the ministry's not through. I've not left you alone. Don't panic. I'm still here." As I thought about this, I thought, wow, what an appropriate phrase for us today. Don't panic. I mean, when you consider the last year, what have we done? We panicked. We've had a pandemic. We've had economic collapse. We've had a change in the leadership of this country. Now we're going through the vaccination process. And, you know, it just seems like it's one thing after another. And I've heard people say, "I don't know what's going to happen next." Well, let me just assure you of one thing. Don't panic, because Jesus is still on his throne. Glory to God, Jesus is alive. He has not been caught off guard by a pandemic. He has not been caught off guard by a change in the political environment. He's not even been caught off guard by the culture that we're currently living in. He is still alive and He is still well in control. I thought this and I thought, wow, you know what encouragement. It has been quite a year. But you know what? Jesus has carried us through. It's not over. We're still here. And second thing He told Mary. Not only did He say, don't panic, He said, Mary, go tell. Go tell my disciples that I'm still here. But I am going to ascend to my Father. You see, Mary had to lose this panic attitude and this weeping because Jesus had a job for her to do. And that job was to go tell. Let me ask you, how many of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? What have you been talking about this past year? Everything but Jesus. I mean, we've talked about everything that's went on. We've talked about how bad things are, how bad the government is, how bad the pandemic is, how bad all this bad news. And watch the news. That's sure encouraging, is it not? No, it's not. You know what people need? We need a message of hope. Now, I cannot tell you what's going to happen in this year. It may be good, it may be bad, it may get better, it may get worse. But the one thing that I do know is that Jesus Christ is still on the throne and people need to hear that Jesus Christ is still in the life-changing, soul-saving business. As I look back at this past year, I look at this church and I'm reminded how blessed we truly are. Jesus has saved souls in the last year. Jesus has changed lives in the last year. Jesus has saved marriages in the last year. Jesus has blessed me and He's blessed you in the last year. And by the grace of God, we are still here and we need to declare to the world that there is still hope. And it's alive and well. I look at the attack that not only this church, but the churches throughout the country faced this past year. With closings and doing what we felt we needed to do. But you know what? I'm still reminded as I look at you today that the gates of hell did not prevail. I'm still reminded that Jesus Christ has preserved His church. I'm still reminded that whatever you have going on in your life, whatever crisis you think you're going through, whatever need you think you have, there's nothing that is too big for Jesus Christ. That's what we need to hear. Go tell it. Yes, Jesus is alive and well. Yes, we're not alone. Now go tell, go share. Because that's what the world needs to hear. I'm reminded, you know, I look back at 2021 or 2020. And yes, there were some things that went on that I was not real excited about. But I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart that every one of us are still here by the grace of God. That tells me that my God is still on His throne. I have prayed prayers in 2020 that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God answered. That reminds me that my God is still on His throne. I've seen souls saved. I've seen people walk the aisle. I've seen children call upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. That reminds me that none of the spiritual stuff has changed. Let me say, the culture may change, the government may change, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There is a message of hope, and the greatest message of hope is this, and I want you to hold on to this part, okay? I'm not a crazy preacher. Well, okay, I am a crazy preacher. But I know this, the good news is Jesus Christ is coming back. He will return. Preacher, I've heard that all my life. It don't matter, don't change the facts. Jesus Christ has done everything He said He would do. And He said He's coming back. Yes, I think we're living in the last days. I don't think you have to look around to be a Bible scholar to recognize the signs of the time. The most encouraging thing I see today are the signs that Jesus Christ's return to get His church is at hand. Are you ready? Listen, it's real. Are you ready? We're leaving. If you're not ready, let me explain to you the love that came out of Calvary 2,000 years ago. Jesus died because you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bottom line, everybody in here has the same problem. It's called sin. Goes from the pulpit to the pew, okay? You got to deal with that sin. The only way to deal with that sin is through Jesus Christ. He became the curse of sin for you. He died for you so that you could have eternal life. Now today, He offers you that eternal life free as the gift of God. It's called grace. And He says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is call on Jesus. Are you saved? Oh, Brother Doug, there has to be more to it than that. Listen, if there were any more to it than that, you wouldn't do it. You couldn't do it. All right? You can't live up to God's standard. You can only receive God's grace. If you need to be saved, I want to invite you to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and there's another need in your life. I would invite you, whatever Jesus leads you to do. If you need to follow the Lord in baptism, if you need to join this church, if you need to rededicate your life, I would invite you. This invitation's for you. You don't have to walk out of here the way you walked in. You may have walked in at odds with Jesus. But let me tell you, you can walk out of here being right with Jesus. This invitation is for you to do what Jesus leads you to do. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your Word. We thank You and we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that today, Lord, that we'll just take this to heart. We don't have to panic because we know that You're still in control. We know that Your Spirit is still living within us, that You're still working upon this earth. And Lord, we're encouraged. We're encouraged to tell it because we know You're coming again. And we know that day is at hand. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now we pray that in this invitation, we will respond in accordance to Your will. In Jesus' name I pray.